The next presenter is Dr. Megan Moran. She is an assistant professor at San Diego State University. Her research focuses on health communication and culture, examining how cultural factors affect the ways individuals respond to health messages and how this ultimately contributes to health disparities. In addition to her work on childhood vaccines, she is interested in how adolescent subcultures impact tobacco use and how individuals of different ethnic groups respond to key features of tobacco marketing. Dr. Moran?
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and have the opportunity to talk to you a bit about some new work that I and my colleagues are doing, looking at individuals who choose to refuse or delay vaccination for their children, primarily because of safety concerns about what they believe a vaccine might do to a child. Before I get started, I want to acknowledge the National Cancer Institute for funding this study. The two co-principal investigators, Sheila Murphy and Lourdes Viscondi-Garbinati, are here in the audience, and also Paula Amezola is here, who has also contributed significantly to this project. When we started this project several years back, we were looking at cervical cancer prevention in general, and of course we're studying the HPV vaccine. So we had done some focus groups, and there was kind of like always one person per focus group who would say, well, I would never vaccinate my child against HPV because it's going to give them autism, or it will give her any number of other kind of really scary things. And so that kind of set my research down this little path, kind of wondering, where does this information come from? Why are people feeling so hesitant about not just the HPV vaccine, but childhood vaccinations in general? And what we were kind of hearing in our focus groups is obviously indicative of a larger trend. So I'm just going to show you some data from California, since that's where I'm located. In California, parents can file a personal belief exemption for their child, which basically means that if there's any personal reason why they do not want their child to be fully up to date with the immunizations required by the state, they can file this exemption, and their kid gets to go to school. And so what we're seeing is that personal belief exemptions, PBEs, have doubled since 2001, which is concerning, because these children are not fully protected against a whole slew of communicable diseases. Even more troubling is the fact that a lot of these children kind of live in communities close to other under-vaccinated children. So this is just a snapshot of San Diego County. Each yellow dot represents a school, and the size of the yellow dot represents how many kindergartners in that school have a personal belief exemption, which indicates that they have not received one or more vaccinations. So what we can kind of see down in the lower half of this map is kind of the more urban area of San Diego, downtown San Diego, and then the bottom of the map obviously would be the border with Mexico. So that's a more densely populated area, but much fewer children are filing exemptions. What we're seeing as we move further north, even though the population is not that dense, we're seeing a lot of children in communities together who are not being fully vaccinated. And it's getting to a point that some schools have so many of these, so many children who have personal belief exemptions that they are no longer able to rely on the immunity of the community surrounding them. So if it's only one kid in a school full of immunized children, that child would probably be okay, assuming they stay in that community. Well, here there are so many children that they're especially vulnerable. And a few years back, we actually had a quite significant measles outbreak that was really scary, with like a baby dying and just very, very scary things. So the question is, why not vaccinate your child since we know that they're effective? As you all know, I think we're familiar with the Wakefield study, which supposedly claimed that vaccines can cause autism. That's one belief that many people who choose not to vaccinate their children have. But there's a whole slew of other misinformation circulating. You can see online lots and lots of websites, blogs, Facebook accounts, Twitter accounts just dedicated to exposing the truth, so to speak, about the dangers of vaccines. Billboards that anybody driving past could see. And then celebrities like Jenny McCarthy and Jim Carrey, who I have here, who are at a public rally. But Jenny McCarthy also recently, I think, she's hosting The View. She's one of the hosts. And so, you know, it's just kind of a platform for this type of misinformation, which is very scary to a lot of people, that by putting something foreign into your child, you are putting your child at risk for SIDS, for brain damage, for autism, for learning disabilities, just you name it. There's a piece of information out there that's claiming a vaccine can give it to your child. So what we were interested in studying as health communication scholars was how are different sources, channels of information contributing to a parent's concern that the vaccines that are recommended for their children are not safe. We looked specifically at three ethnic groups, Mexican Americans, African Americans, and non-Hispanic whites. And so what I'm going to talk a bit about are the results of our analyses for the entire sample together, but also sub-samples, so by each ethnic group. To collect data, we did a random digit dial study, telephone survey of individuals in Los Angeles aged 21 to 45. About one-fifth of the sample had a high school diploma or less. About a third earned $40,000 a year or less. 12.4% had no health care coverage whatsoever. And the average age of the women in our sample was 38. The key measures that are of interest to this study are, first, beliefs about vaccine safety. So we asked how strongly they agreed from 1 to 5 with the statements that vaccines are unsafe and that vaccines can have negative side effects. And then for our analyses, we averaged these two to create one outcome measure. We looked at general, non-specific sources of health information by asking, what are the top two ways that you get health information for you and your family? And participants could respond. It was open-ended, and we then coded it into a category, television, internet, and so forth. We also asked about their trust in interpersonal sources of information. So how much their mothers, their female friends, female relatives, and then their healthcare providers' opinion on health mattered to them. So what we found was that overwhelmingly everybody went to the internet as a top source of health information. This was consistent across each ethnic group, though you can see that non-Hispanic whites went to internet most often and African Americans went to internet less so. Talking with other people was also a top source of health information for African Americans and for non-Hispanic whites. And then among Mexican Americans, we have television being the second most commonly used source of health information. In terms of how much our sample trusted other people's opinion on health, you can see universally healthcare providers were trusted. People also tended to trust their mothers, though again, there's a difference between how much the non-Hispanic whites and the African Americans trusted their mothers, with the non-Hispanic whites trusting their mothers less. And then female relatives and female friends, still with a fairly high level of trust, but not as much as the other sources. People were kind of not really strongly feeling about vaccines one way or the other. This is on a 5-point scale, with 5 having the most concern or fear about vaccine safety. And so you can see people kind of just scored in the middle. We didn't have many who were really adamantly scared about vaccines, but we didn't have that many who were very, very like, vaccines are absolutely safe and I have no concerns whatsoever. So we kind of see, you know, people just kind of in the middle for the entire sample. To test what sources of information predicted these beliefs about vaccine. We ran linear regression analyses. And so these are the results for the entire sample. I'll let you take a look at some of the numbers, but I'll just point out that the only significant source of information, the source of information that significantly predicted vaccine concern was healthcare providers. So the more individuals trusted their healthcare providers' opinions, the less concern they had about vaccine safety. We also see that the non-Hispanic white population had lower levels of concern, and that education was also associated with lower levels of concern. Then when we split out the analyses by subgroup, things got a little bit more interesting. We found that for African Americans, that individuals who use newspapers as a top source of health information had more concern about vaccine safety, while individuals who went to books or magazines had lower levels of concern. Among non-Hispanic whites and Mexican Americans, these sources of information bore no relationship to vaccine safety concern. But with the other two groups, what we see is that talking with other people, the more interpersonal sources were a source of health information, those individuals had much more concern about vaccine safety. Among non-Hispanic whites, we see that women who look to their mother for their opinion on health, they had lower levels of vaccine safety concern. But Mexican-American women who went to their mother had higher levels of concern. So that's kind of indicating that maybe there's different messages circulating in these communities. And then again, both for the non-Hispanic white population and the Mexican-American population, people who trusted their healthcare provider were much less concerned about vaccine safety. So what does this mean? Well, I first want to point out that this underscores the difference in how individuals of different ethnic groups may often rely on different sources of health information, and that we can't assume that everybody is going to the same source of information when we are attempting to reach these groups. And that also the sources may contain different types of stories or information. So again, I'll just point out with the non-Hispanic white mothers being associated with less concern and the Mexican-American mothers being associated with more concern, right? That kind of is telling us that these two same categories are associated with very different outcomes for the people looking to these sources. We also did not find any association between internet use and vaccine safety concern, which may be surprising given all the information I showed you up front with all the, you know, scary stuff about vaccines online. A lot of other work has found an association. And so I think it's likely because we chose to use kind of not necessarily a vaccine information seeking measure, just a general global health information seeking measure. And so even though there's a lot of anti-vaccine information online, if you're not really looking for it, you might never come across it because it's not necessarily always in more mainstream sources. However, there is an awful lot of misinformation circulating online, and so it's very easy for a person just looking for vaccine-specific information to find this information. There's a lot of good information, too, but when you're just kind of Google searching things like vaccine safety, something kind of innocuous, you wind up being directed to a lot of websites that, in a very credible-looking way, seem to present this information about why one should not vaccinate his or her children. This leads to my last point, which is that health literacy is really crucial here. Because there is so much misinformation circulating, it can be difficult to obtain good quality information, being able to know where you can go to find out what the actual benefits and risks of vaccines are. Also, the ability to distinguish what is credible from what is not credible is huge here. A lot of misinformation, and I also say I'm concurrently running a content analysis of vaccine information, and so I'll just say some of our preliminary findings are indicating that a lot of the information looks real. It looks like it's coming from a doctor or from, you know, the WHO, or, you know, it's not really, but they do a very good job of appearing credible. And so it can be exceedingly difficult to ascertain what pieces of information are good quality, evidence-based information from that which is just kind of manipulating people to not vaccinate their children. And then finally, the ability to understand vaccine information. I think we all know with any type of vaccine or medicine or anything, there's always going to be some side effect, some risk associated with it. And so the ability to understand what is an acceptable level of risk and make an informed decision for one's child so that they can be most fully protected is crucial. So working with groups to improve the quality of information, to you because you are one of the people doing that, and then just improve individuals' capacity to get the best information for their and their children's health is going to be really important for overcoming this challenge. And so get your vaccines, get your kids vaccinated. Thank you.
Now I'll open the floor. For any questions, anyone has any questions? Vaccinations? Anything? Okay, one more round of applause. Thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed the information. It's really good. I think you guys are doing some really innovative and groundbreaking work that will eventually make a difference. It just typically takes time to get that information and to really, you know, get especially individuals and communities to buy in, but with, you know, persistence and time and trust, I think that was kind of like a message that I got, the trust, building that trust with those individuals and communities. I think eventually it will happen. It's just, you know, it's more about the quality of the work that you're doing as opposed to the quantity right now, but good quality work will eventually translate into the quantity of bringing them on. So thank you so much. Thank you.